Now, thank you, praise team. Thank you for everyone that had a part in the service this morning. Even those who set up these tables and chairs this morning, as well as those who set up the PA systems. We thank you for that. We know there's a lot of work goes into it before the people arrive. And we thank you for the part that you play in there. And also for the praise team and their practice probably this week sometime. And all that. We thank you, Lord, for that. Well, today we're going to be taking a look at Joshua. You finished up with Ephesians, I believe last Sunday. No, Sunday before, or whenever it was. So now we ministers say we can have a choice of what we would like to pick. Well, you know, sometimes as a minister, you are thinking, now, Lord, what should we minister to? What you're thinking about the body of believers and the needs within the body and how that all intersects with everything in the Word. And, well, today the preacher took one of his favorite characters in the Bible, that of Joshua, and we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be observing Joshua's obedience. And we're going to be looking at Joshua 5, 13 through 16, and Joshua 6, 1 to 5. Now, what I'd like you to do is hold up your hand, at least one of your hands. I can say that. Deanna's here, not here today. I got to be careful sometimes how I say that. You have four fingers, right? Four fingers. Okay. You have four fingers. You have one thumb, right? Specific. I only need four fingers today. Four fingers. The first one is choice. Choice. Second one is courage. Second one is conviction. Third one is conviction. And the fourth one is confronting. Four C's. You know, you learn better if you have some association with something. So there's your four C's. Choice, courage, conviction, and confronting. And when we look here at the life of Joshua, we're going to see these areas that have taken place in his life. Joshua was a leader of God's people. And praise team, the songs that you've picked this today for the moving of the Holy Spirit in all that you've done is beautiful to see the faith, the conviction, the choice, and all that taking place in our service so far this morning. I think it was really beautiful. And we know the Holy Spirit orchestrates this. I would like to share with you now, you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, 5 through 9. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. You can turn to it in your Bible or turn to it on your cell phone, but just don't go on the web and do other things. Okay. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. This is after the death of Moses, and God is having, there's another C, communication. God and Joshua are communicating together. And we see here it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, and as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from thy right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This is one of the key verses in our whole scripture text today, scripture that we'll be reading. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then it goes, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, it goes on talking some more about that. But you see here, how many times does it talk about courage here? It's quite a few times that be strong and of good courage. Be very courageous. And also meditate. Meditate. Any of you here have some challenging times in your life when it comes down to a devotional time or to meditate? Is that a challenging time? If you sit down, kneel down, prostrate yourself, oh, whatever, how long does it take before you can concentrate really on prayer and the things that you're aiming to do? I find myself, when I get quiet like that to meditate, I end up thinking about yesterday, thinking about what's ahead of me. It takes time before I get to the point where I want to do. Choice, courage, conviction. Yes, it takes courage to do that. And we see here that Joshua is being called for a leadership role. Joshua was in an apprenticeship under Moses. Now Moses was his trainer, but his trainer wasn't going to be going along with him to where Joshua was asked to go. Because Moses got to a point and he had to stop there. Is that correct? Moses had to stop because of something that had taken place in his life past. And he could not enter into the promised land. So he had to stay behind. He died there. And then Joshua picked up the baton and moved on. We're coming to the story of Jericho. Story of Jericho. Those funny, peculiar people walking around a fortified city with all the people inside and all the... Oh, no, wait. There were some spies. It said, this land is fortified. There's giants in the land. We can't conquer it. No way. So there these people are watching. They're walking around there. They're pretty peculiar people. Well, you know what, Lord? There's peculiar people here today. Yeah, yeah. And Lord, they're on a journey with you. It says in your word that we're going to be peculiar people. And you know what? People look at us as, what we do is strange. They look at you and say, what? Why do you do that? What is it that drives you to do that? Where did you learn it? Where does it come from? Yes, God has called us, and we are a strange people to a lot of things this world does, and the people who are watching our lives from day to day, because you and I are on a journey of life with Jesus. What does that journey feel like to you? Probably different to many of us in each of our ways. So here these people were. They were to march around this city 7 times, 6 days, 1 time a day, and then 7 times on the last day. There's another thing that it says in the scripture. They were to be quiet and not say a word as they marched around that city. Whew. Some folks would be a little more challenging than others not to be able to talk. Well, we won't go into that any further. Okay, Joshua, they had to mark 7 times around, and the battle belongs to the Lord. I think there's a song like that. The battle belongs to the Lord. Okay, now, there's a scripture that has been handed out for somebody to read from Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. Joshua 5, 13 through 15.
Joshua 5, 13 to 15. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so.
Thank you. Joshua, having a meeting outside Jericho with an angel, with a sword drawn toward him. What emotions would be running through you? What would you be thinking? We see that Joshua, not being the shy type here, he asked, "Are you for us or are you for the adversary?" He was willing to confront. It says he approached him. He approached the person, the angel. "Are you for us or against us?" My question to you is, are you willing to step out? Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to find out where your neighbor's condition is with the Lord? Are you willing to step out and ask somebody else? Are you on your way to heaven? Do you step out or do you hide out of the way? Do you and I let Jesus shine through as we're doing our daily work? What do we show? What do people see through us? Well, here we have the angel appearing to Joshua. He had courage to confront and find out what's going on. But there are other places in the scripture where something was confronted with a sword. Remember that story? There was a guy that was on his way to do his own thing in his own time, in his own place. Well, not his own place. He was going to the place to do his own thing. How about that Balaam guy? He was riding a donkey, and that donkey wouldn't go where he wanted him to go. And then finally God opened the eyes of Balaam up to see why the donkey wouldn't go after the donkey got beat up, and also after the donkey talked to him. Remember that? Yes. The donkey saw the angel banishing the sword. Balaam was on a mission that God didn't want him to be on. He was going someplace to tell something that he wasn't supposed to be saying. And the donkey says, "I've taken you all these places. I've done what you want me to do, and yet you beat me." Are there times in our lives when we need to be careful, or things happen because of our disobedience? Other things go on. Other people may be hurt. Other things take place. Jacob also wrestled with an angel. And Jacob, wrestling with that angel, came out with a limp. Yes. Joshua, in this Joshua 5 and preceding this, these verses that we're looking at, came through a great solemn time. They came through a time of circumcision, a time of Passover, and a time of finally giving up that manna to have some old corn to eat. How long did they eat manna? How long? Long time, right? 40 years? Wow. Anyway, here they could eat some old corn. We also discover that divine grace, when we're in the way of duty and diligence and are sincere in following the holy ordinance that God gives to us. We see that the captain of the host said to Joshua, "Loose your shoes and take them off, because where you're standing is holy ground." Now, they didn't have shoes like we have today, and they didn't have as many shoes as we have today, because we know that there's got to be shoes for this sport, that sport, another sport. And when you're buying all these shoes for these children that are in sports, they're growing. So after a while, it takes another new pair of shoes, because they're out of those pair of shoes. They're saying they're too tight, they don't fit no more, or else they wear out, they fall apart, or whatever. Here they had sandals. They had sandals. So Joshua removed his shoes. He was obedient. Again, seeing one of those traits of Joshua. We see that his when you're talking about obedience, it requires that our whole heart follow him. Deuteronomy 26:16. Or the price of success, as I read in from Joshua 1:8. And how many times do you see success mentioned in the Bible? I didn't look on Google or anything for that. But I don't think I see that often mentioned, the word success. But anyway, also, to obey is better than to sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15. Obedience also secures entrance into the kingdom, into God's kingdom. From Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The other thing I'd like to mention about Joshua, he had a holy reverence. He had a godly reverence that we see come forth here. He was obedient to following what the angel asked him to do. And in Psalm 35:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the whole world stand in awe of him." Or Psalm 4:4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." How many times do you sometimes lay in your bed and you offer up prayers to God for family, friends, community, wherever it might be, whoever it might be that's coming to your mind? But stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. A godly reverence is very important in our lives. What determines if a person is a success or a failure? Is it the world? Is it the culture around you? Or is it God? Which is it? Which is it that is determining how successful you are? And you can answer that for yourself, how that might be. The world has different measures of success. God has measures of success. And then when we go back to him, Joshua taking off his sandals here, it was a form of an open shoe that is worn in warm climates. It's a form of footwear that was important in scriptures. Both the wearing and removal is seen as symbolic. Or to go barefooted was often a sign of shame or mourning or poverty. Sandals usually were worn by the officials, by soldiers and messengers. You know, some of the soldiers, when they were in foot armies, their shoes were made different. I would say they were made like cleats that somebody would wear playing football to give them more traction. It was okay for going forward, but don't try and go backwards. That gave you quite a challenge to try to do that. It just gave you force to go forward. The other thing is untying and carrying of sandals was whose responsibility? It was the servant's. It was a servant's responsibility to carry the shoes, to untie the shoes. Any of you children here, dad asked you to untie shoes or tie shoes at times? Does that happen? Okay. Well, okay. A removal of the sandals was a gesture. Nowadays, as I said, you have all those kinds of shoes. How many pairs of shoes do you and I have in our closets? We won't ask the women for that because we know that they have more than the men do, but that's okay. They need them for different occasions than we do. Then we see that Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. The children of Israel were doing what? They were putting a siege on Jericho. Jericho was a city that was near Jerusalem, 5 miles north of the Dead Sea. The city of Jerusalem had stone bases of their walls that were approximately 12 to 15 feet thick. They were 20 to 26 feet high, plus Jericho was at 8 acres on a mound. So it was up in the air to start with, then the stone walls, and then the mud brick walls on top of that yet. So you could be in 46 feet high. So they were put on a siege. This was also the city of the blind Bartimaeus, where he lived. What is a siege? A siege is done when they want to cut off the city, starve them out, cut off all their supplies that they may have to go out for. But you know, if you look at some of the cities years ago, how they were built very secure. They had their own wells and their own supply of water, so they were just about self-sufficient. They didn't need to go out for a lot of things. But the siege was to cut off all the supplies until they would surrender. You know, I think Satan tries to put a siege on our lives to cut us off from God. We've got to be careful that we don't allow that to happen. Joshua, Satan tries to put a siege in our lives to cut us off from God and His supply of grace, His mercy, and His peace, and the fruits of the Spirit. Think about that. Are there times that it feels like a siege going on in your life? That you're running out of food, you're running out of water, and it's time for you to get out of the city again? The siege. Yes, I think Satan tries to put a siege in our lives. And we need to be careful that we don't allow that to happen. Joshua was prepared through similar circumstances as Moses. He had a theophany. What's a theophany? A visible manifestation of deity as he met with his angel with his drawn sword. God imparted to Joshua the consciousness that the conquest that was coming up with Jericho was not solely dependent on him. It was divinely commissioned. Because you remember, they were going to be taking over these lands as they were coming into the promised land. They were going to be taking over these cities. This was the first city they were being empowered with. Joshua was but the servant and subject to the commander of the army of the Lord. And the Lord said to Joshua, I've given into your hand Jericho and the king and thereof and the mighty men of valor. So you see, Joshua was told that ahead of time. And this morning we sang about deep in my faith and will stand. Faith made me strong in the presence of my God. The power and the promise of the great I am, the one who brought the water together, put the water back again, stood water on a heap. The sounds of the nations, God's children singing. He's conquering our enemy. Think about that. They were marching around, doing what they were told to do 6 days. Seventh day, they were to go around and to do the shouting. We see that the Lord told Joshua, He's the one that is in charge of the battle. He's using them. He is the God of the battle. He's the divine protector. In Exodus 19, 5 and 6, it says, And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 50, 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. How many of you remember Bill Jury with Teen Haven Ministries? He would often use those scriptures many times to let the farmers know that they were also involved in this ministry, because they ate a lot of hamburger out at Teen Haven Camp. They needed a lot of cattle. As a side light, God gave Jesus Christ to free man of sin and to give victory over selfishness. Think about that. We need somebody to help us with our selfishness. Yeah, I need somebody with my selfishness. That's right. We see Joshua and the children of Israel giving them all the commands, all the instructions, getting them ready to move on. These 6 days, you shall do it. Divine command. He got the warriors lined up. They were circling this 8-acre mound. 40,000 men of war with weapons. And yet, all they were to do was to march around and shout. All they were to do to march around and shout. They had all this other equipment. Now, when you think about it, the Israelites, after marching, I'm not sure what for army trained they would be, but they were there marching around. This 8-acre mound was imprisoned by them. How about you and my life? Are there habits? Are there other things that are in our lives that are being imprisoned in our lives that need to be freed up? So they're marching, and it came to this marching the 7th time around. They were to blow their trumpets, and when he gave the word, they were to shout. And they did that, and the walls came down. Now, what did I describe to you? A mound, 8 acres, high walls and everything. And what does the scripture say? That each person was going to be able to walk in to the city, all the way around, walk into the city on level ground. I'm not sure if it says level, but the walls were going to be down. And it just amazes me. God gives us all the detail of things going on. So they blew their trumpets. And what did they do? They marched and shouted, and the walls came down. What instruments of war did they use? God was their protector. God was their protector. Remember, you had choice, you had courage, and you had conviction, and you have confronting. Remember those C's. To be a success or a failure in this world comes down to this. Be obedient. Put your trust in God and walk by faith. Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful to you that you saw fit to send Jesus, your Son, our Savior. And Lord, if there are those who need a special touch from you, you're available through your Holy Spirit and through ministry to pray with, to guide, direct. We also thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for the lives of people that have walked before us, that we can see and follow after and emulate their character. Help us, Lord, to see those traits that are important. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail in honoring and glorifying you as we should. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our minds. And Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit's moving in our hearts and lives here today in the name of Jesus, that those walls will come down, and that we can go forth in faith, believing, knowing you are the God of the universe. Go with us, strengthen us, because We are your children, and we want to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.